biofilm's final Jerish-Herxheimer reaction. As with biofilms, a Herxheimer reaction is another term that chronic Lyme individuals are all too familiar with. It's most commonly referred to as a die-off, or a Herx, among Lyme individuals, and more accurately known as the Jerish-Herxheimer reaction. The discovery of this effect is credited to two individuals, Adolf Jerish, who first noted it way back in 1895, and Carl Herxheimer, who confirmed it in the early 1900s. This effect was first noted in the 15th century. Jerish and Herxheimer discovered the effect, noting the reactions of individuals after being treated for syphilis, which has similarities to Lyme. Jerish proposed that the reaction, most commonly seen as fevers, chills, blood pressure changes, heart rate changes, skin reactions, anxiety, and more, was caused by toxins being released from inside the spirochete of syphilis. As I stated earlier, nothing wants to die. And if they must die, pathogens do everything they can to make one last statement to make their deaths meaningful. This last-ditch effort is known as a Jerish-Herx reaction. Fast forward to today, and it's most commonly seen when trying to kill Lyme disease and many other biofilm-producing species. Basically, when you threaten the survival of pathogens, they respond by releasing toxins. These toxins get released into your gut, your bloodstream, your brain, and anywhere else where there's a biofilm. The toxins then make their way to every part of your body, often through the bloodstream. Jerish-Herxheimer reactions cause increases in, among other substances, tumor necrosis factor alpha and matrix metallopeptidase 9, MMP9, which initiate immune reactions in both the brain and body, hopefully to clear out toxins. If treatment is overdone, as it usually is with many Lyme therapies, your own cells and tissues are attacked as well. Elevations in the TNF-alpha and MMP9 are enough by themselves to make you feel terrible, but in excess, they cause your immune system to attack you as well, further contributing to the autoimmunity commonly seen among Lyme individuals. Sometimes the effects of a Jerish-Herxheimer reaction can be felt for days, weeks, months, or even years after treatment has ended, because the massive increase in immune signaling remains for a long time. This leads individuals to feel as though they're in a constant state of die-off, even if they're no longer receiving treatment. Regardless of their initial locations, toxins make their way to various other brain and bodily systems via your bloodstream. Your brain and body respond the same way they would to any toxin, which I'll show you through our research in Section 4. Increased electrical activity in the brain, compromised blood flow, increased inflammation, disruptions in immunity/autoimmunity, increased pathogenic exposure, increased environmental/industrial toxin exposure, increased liver stress, disruptions in the GI system, hormonal imbalances, hormonal disturbances. This also leads to an exacerbation of any symptoms you're currently experiencing. Many individuals even develop additional symptoms they weren't experiencing prior to the attacking Lyme. Here are just a few of the most commonly experienced symptoms: brain fog, decreased cognition and memory, anxiety, sleep issues, increased pain, fevers, chills, fatigue, vomiting, GI distress, headaches, migraines, changes in blood pressure, changes in heart rate, changes in coordination and mobility. In summary, Jerish-Herxheimer reactions, or die-offs, exacerbate current symptoms and cause new symptoms to develop due to the disruption of biofilms. Biofilms contain co-infections, fungi, toxins, and yeast, in addition to Lyme itself. These combined results cause numerous negative effects. Here's the thing. The symptoms you're experiencing aren't just from Lyme. Many think Lyme is so harmful and so dangerous that it is causing all their symptoms. Yes, Lyme can cause symptoms, but Lyme requires a specific environment to perpetuate symptoms at all. More importantly, The severity of your symptoms is often not the result of Lyme. Symptoms experienced during treatment are caused by attacking biofilms within co-infections, candida, environmental toxins, Lyme, and numerous other pathogens and toxins. To kill Lyme, you must expose it. To expose it, you must disrupt and open the biofilm. When you open the biofilm, you release everything inside it, not just Lyme. Yet, individuals usually seek treatment at various centers for Lyme and Lyme only. Thus, when they bust open the biofilm and feel the negative side effects, they attribute feeling terribly mainly, if not solely, to Lyme. As mentioned above, fungi, mold toxins, etc., build biofilms. Candida builds biofilms, and co-infections build biofilms. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's important you understand this concept, as it's a crucial reason you should never break open biofilms. Everything is hiding there, not just Lyme. Moreover, attempts at disrupting biofilms are largely ineffective, whether by natural or synthetic means. When Lyme individuals experience a die-off, they think it's from Lyme. They're not wrong, but they aren't totally correct either. All pathogens, including Lyme, are what individuals feel after a biofilm breakup. In fact, calling the reaction a Gerish-Herxheimer or even a die-off isn't completely accurate. It's an incomplete definition when it comes to biofilm-producing species. Killing pathogens like Lyme, Babesia, Candida, and so on, causes a Gerish-Herxheimer reaction. However, merely exposing them doesn't necessarily mean they're being killed. If they're not being killed, they're not releasing toxins in response to being killed. Thus, it isn't a Gerish-Herxheimer reaction. In the same vein, toxins aren't killed either, so they don't cause die-off. My point is that what you're feeling from killing biofilms is from both killing pathogens and exposing pathogens and additional toxins. The floodgates open when a biofilm is breached. Not only are you inducing the release of toxins by killing pathogens, the current definition of a Gerish-Herxheimer reaction, a true die-off in a traditional sense, but you're also feeling the massive flood of additional toxins, additional pathogens, and more. This causes your brain and body to go haywire. This is what causes you to feel so terrible. Regarding biofilm species, this effect should honestly be called something else entirely. But at a minimum, this is a more complete definition of a Gerish-Herxheimer reaction in terms of any biofilm-producing species. This is what you feel. This is what happens when you try and go after Lyme. Do you understand why you can't be just a Lyme expert? More importantly, are you beginning to understand why it's scientifically implausible to try to kill Lyme in most cases? When you attack Lyme, you are attacking biofilms. Everyone who's seeking treatment for Lyme is experiencing some sort of symptoms, and many individuals aren't prepared for what's about to happen during their treatments. If you and your physician aren't prepared to handle the resulting symptoms and the substances released in association with die-off, then you're not prepared to handle any Lyme treatment whatsoever, regardless of whether you agree with my notions. Remember to ask yourself, is my physician capable of treating my Lyme disease? What I do know is that our patients get better without ever opening biofilms, without ever killing Lyme. By opening biofilms and generating Gerish-Herxheimer reactions, physicians are controlling the rate at which Lyme and these other pathogens are dealt with. These physicians are, in a way, thinking they know the best speed for killing the bugs. Many times, this causes your immune system to become further compromised and contributes to further symptoms as well as autoimmune reactions. It's almost as if the physicians were suggesting that our own immune systems haven't been evolving and keeping us healthy for tens of thousands of years. I'm all for science, growth, and technology, but to think we know how to manipulate our bodies better than our own bodies do is quite arrogant. We may get there, but we surely aren't there yet. Remember my analogy about a biofilm resembling a city? Crime is inevitable in any city, but do you punish the entire city? More accurately, do you bomb the city because of a few disruptions? Do you bomb the brain and body because of the inevitable production of biofilms? Quite honestly, the real questions are these. Should I be busting open the biofilm at all? Are we being shielded by design or by adaptations of our own body's ability to protect us from opening the floodgates of the biofilm? Can I get better without experiencing die-off, without ever directly attacking Lyme? We've been evolving alongside biofilm-producing species for all our existence, and they were here long before us. It's time we start rethinking our approach to Lyme, and to any biofilm-producing disease for that matter. To summarize, yes, individuals at our clinic get better without ever bombing biofilms, without experiencing the awful symptoms of die-off, and without ever directly killing Lyme. Yes, I will continue to defend this position. Hopefully, I'm beginning to convince you why this position is true.